The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. And today is August 12th. If you can believe it, I can't friggin' believe how fast this month is going. Let's see, August 12th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefers.com. He's a regular every month here, and I'm going to say this again. If you haven't listened to the last show that we did, you got to turn it on because it was incredible. And it really struck a nerve, and I'll tell you why. We talked about innate intelligence, and we talked about learning how to quiet your mind and sit alone and just listen and how we feel that. A lot of that's been lost now. You know, there's so much noise, and with all this technology around here, especially with these phones, a lot of people just don't know how to critically think anymore or even find the answers. They're always looking externally for everything, and we really hit – that was a great show. But one of the big things that hit the listeners out there was I talked about something I wanted to always do. If you remember the movie Rocky IV, and I know it wasn't filmed in Russia, but here's the point of the matter – I'd like to go somewhere like that for a year and harden up even more. And I'm talking a dirt floor, stones, weights, axes, anvils. I don't give a shit what you got. You got a place? I'm looking. There's other people who've contacted the show that would want to do that. Even one gentleman called me, and I couldn't believe it. It was hilarious. He was like, I think I got a log cabin where we could train people. I was like, right now, man, I don't have a minute to do anything but train myself. But I get it, man, and it's like a lot of people are looking for that, and maybe down the road next year we're going to put something together. We'll see what happens. But go out to www.docsprefer.com. Also, we have Sorenex Equipment. That's Richard and Bert Soren, who's a regular on the show. His father's on quite a bit too. They sponsor me for Iceland with a diamond bar. It's 803-978-2253, extension 111, Sorenex.com. It's an incredible bar. Fits in your power rack. You can probably load it anywhere from 8 to 1,000 pounds. And the nice thing is you can do standing presses with it. Exceptional bar. It's a little bit bigger than 1 inch in the handles, and they got serious knurling in them. Top quality. Very smooth to lift with. So go out to Sorenex.com, and thank you for your sponsorship. Obviously, you know, today is also, and I've got more to get to, as long as we're talking sponsors, we have Logan Christopher on, and his family has sponsored me for Iceland via Superman Herbs, and I thank them for that. I thank these three gentlemen and their families, obviously, for the generosity, and hopefully going to Iceland and Scotland and all that's going to show you what it all did for me. That'll be a big payback, let me tell you. So go out to any of these people, supermanherbs.com, sorenex.com, docsprefer.com. Our next one is for New York residents only. That's heartscollision.com. That's my good friend Lori and Alex Verardi, 518-477-9737. If you're new to the show, I'm training their 14-year-old son, Alex, for basketball. He's over 6 feet already. At 145, he was getting shoved around pretty hard. We got him up to 151. I'll get a weight on him Saturday. And the nice thing is he loves strongman so much, and that's what mainly I've been doing, training him strongman and the trap bar from Sorenex, that he's decided he wants to do a strongman event next year. So he and I are going to be training together all winter, and I plan on getting him up to 190 pounds, and he's going to be one badass 14-year-old, let me tell you. So I'm looking real forward to that. I just put up some video of him on our YouTube channel and on Facebook, striking, obviously, a tire and walking 95 down and 95 back with a 60-pound sandbag, and he's screaming with it. So it's a lot of fun. He's a great kid, and he's doing a great job. So heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Give him a call. Next, go out and get our free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. 10 paragraphs, basic, simplistic, make you think, make you go out and maybe do something, man. Get a goal, go out, discipline yourself, work very hard, and obviously take action. It's not a big, you know, you don't have to go out and pay $1,000 for those words, which a lot of people will. Go out and check it out. All you got to do is leave your email address. That's it. Obviously, the Winner's Circle is our big, big project we're working on right now. We're working on new branding, obviously, for the homepage. Just send them a bunch of film. You're going to finally get to see where I train. It's big one. It's a one-car garage, man. It's no 5,000-foot facility, and you're going to get to see the tires, the stones, all the other stuff we've constructed on the other side of the garage. You're going to see a lot of film coming out here, so I'm feeling pretty healthy. We got a brand-new Hoosa Steel stone coming on Saturday morning. It's a smaller version of the original H1, and it's about, I think, about 60 pounds lighter, but with the same dimensions. So yours truly now is going to get to test the walk and see how the shoulder is. I pulled 375 below mid-shin point the other day for a double with the Hoosa Steel stone. I didn't have any problem pulling it, and I didn't have any issues with the shoulder. So knock on wood, maybe we're coming out of this funk and we're going to be on our way, I hope, soon. If not, I've already had an offer to go to Scotland and Iceland next May. We'll see what happens. We'll play it out. So go to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And don't forget to go to sponsorship. It's $300 a month. If you need any type of branding done, Chris can do that. Obviously, that's another charge. But we're looking to be in this for another 25 years at least. Spread the word. You know, you help us, we can help you. This week, I'm doing 15 podcasts, which is unheard of, and it's nuts on my voice. But we want to build this company as quickly as possible, and we always say we want over 1 million listeners. That's what we're going to do, I promise you. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check that out. Last but not least, Chris Bigelow does all the work here. MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. Or if you go out to Fiorello Barbell Co., just click the link and you'll go right to them. Well, today, every other Wednesday, we have Logan Christopher. And anybody that's not doesn't know him, I don't know how you wouldn't. But if you're not familiar with Logan, he is the president of Legendary Strength. He's in with his brothers where they do Superman herbs. He's a strong man, a kettlebell guy. I mean, I could probably keep naming, but he's got quite a long resume. And we're going to let him come in and give a little bio on himself. But we're going to talk about something. I said to Logan before we even came on, we're going to talk about building the back. And, I mean, that's right from the top to the spinal erectors, at the, you know, all the way to the bottom, the top of your butt crack, all right? This is something that you don't hear a lot about, and we're going to get into that today. So, Logan, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Yep, good to be back.
Same here, man. It's like I said, it seems a long time, but we're back. Tell everybody a little bit about what you're into, you know, about your companies, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, as you said, I'm a man of many different things, so, and I'm sure we'll touch upon all the different training modalities and a bunch of stuff as we talk about the back, because I definitely want to drill into, you know, working it from a few different angles and a few different means and all that. But people can check out legendarystrength.com. That's my main site for everything strength related, all the weird stuff that I do, from bending horseshoes to lighting kettlebells on fire and juggling them. And then also over at supermanherbs.com, that's the basically the super herbs that really help support performance in a variety of different ways, from the hormones to energy to mind, all that stuff.
Yep. And I'll tell you, good quality stuff, you know,
go for
it, works. Well, it, you know, and I had a guy talking to me the other day, this guy Frank, great guy from Boston. He's fireman there, and they're very heavily involved in muscular dystrophy, which for anybody that doesn't know, this whole company is dedicated to my brother Jim, who died from that. And he's very involved with, they're involved with, obviously, you know, collecting money for the organization and all that. So right away we clicked, and he's a hell of a strong man, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, he came to me the other day and he says, you know, what are you taking? What are you using right now? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, mainly right now, all I'm using is Superman herbs. I said, you know, Logan and his family are sponsoring me for Iceland with it. And I said, you know, I said that you can, there's nothing you can't do with those herbs. And I said, let's face it. You know, I'm here now, you know, they're talking about SARMs now. They want to outlaw too. You know, it's unbelievable what I'm seeing happening with everything. It's like, you know, whatever happened to your freedoms? And, you know, it's usually one of these jerk asses that take the wrong shit or too much of it, you know, and then they get the idea we've got to remove it from everybody. So I said, you know something? You want some stuff that works. You want it to get to your house in a real quick amount of time. You know, it's always packed correctly and sealed. I told him to come to you. You know, I hope he does place an order with you. He sounded very interested, and I try to push people that way because, you know, it's just not – there's most of the stuff is disappearing, man. And it's like, you know, you don't want to get caught with anything illegal because that will get you time for a long time. So, you know, that's all I can do. So before we get into this thing, you know, Logan, I like you to promote your stuff, obviously, but, you know, in a quick fashion, what would you tell somebody? Like, you know, we're getting lifters now starting to come to me, and I know you're getting contacted. What would you say to everybody out in the motivation and muscle arena here about your stuff that they, you know, they can go out and look at the site, but in your opinion, how would you convey what you think, what you've got to the listeners here? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot either, but you know what I mean? It's like, you know what we do, all right? So tell everybody that's doing like what we're doing, what you think would be a good thing for them and maybe what they want to read up on, et cetera, sure. Et cetera.
Well, here's something you really need to understand. Like, basically people today, men need support being men because our environment is overly toxic. Things that disrupt our hormonal or endocrine system, things like xenoestrogens found in plastics and pesticides and whatnot. So the studies have shown, research has shown that people, overall men, have been having declines in testosterone, not just as you get older. Sure, there's that age-related decline, but overall, all men have less testosterone today than a year ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, and so on and so forth. So some of these herbs, they become more popular because really people need them more. And if you want to become strong, let's face it, you can't do that if your hormones are in the tank. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of things, and we've got tons of information on the site, but supporting testosterone, that's not just about taking testosterone, right? You have to look at other things like cortisol and the stress hormones and factors in lifestyle and how all that plays into there. So these herbs can really help support you being at your best. And unfortunately, because of our environment today, like even if you're doing all the right things, eating very high quality, clean food, like you still need additional help in order to perform at your best. So I encourage people just start with something simple like pine pollen, which is our number one bestseller. And it's, you know, you can get a bag for under $20 just to try it out, see how it works for you. We do offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. You can send us back your empty package, say it didn't work for you, and we'll give you your money back. So you know, the risk is on us. Try it out.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's the thing. It's like it's so important. I mean, we got into one show about that. It was real interesting. Maybe we'll have to do that again down the road. You know, if you've got – you know, we know what you got now testosterone-wise with the pine pollen and obviously – things when you feel like your balls are to the wall. You've got something to maybe alleviate that and help you with that too. You know, when we're talking cortisol, obviously things of that nature, which you have to have, but you don't want to have an overabundance of that running through you. And we'll have to talk about that. Me and you will have to discuss that off air, and maybe we'll do something again when, you know, I know that you're revamping a product. I won't say that. Maybe once that's done, we'll bring the whole thing in if you'd like to do that. But today, we're going to really get into back training. So, Logan, how do I want to start this off?
Let's talk about just how important it is, right?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the sort of the muscle mass in your body, of course, the legs are important, and most of the muscle mass is there, but second most to that is the back. And often with many of the exercises, like let's just take the deadlift as an example, you know,
sure.
The legs and the back are working together at the same time. Like between those two, that's about 75% or something like that of the muscle mass in your body. So forget just training the pecs and the biceps, right? Train these right. muscle groups and you'll be strong. Add the hands to that, you're pretty much taken care of.
Yeah, because I always say to myself, it's like the legs basically pull it up, but, you know, it's the back that locks it out, you know. So the legs and the back are so vital. You know, a lot of people do the same stuff with back work. You always see it. Now, look, there's nothing against a deadlift. It's a supreme movement. But there's other things, too. You know, I've always been a big proponent of bent rows because I think they translate to lifting stones big time. Mm-hmm. And they also train the biceps real good. And, you know, that's something you and I are going to have to get in, especially with the amount of tears. And I'm one of the people who have had them. I think the bent over row, I'm not talking dumbbell. I'm talking two hands with a barbell. I think it's a very good bicep builder, too, because there's just so much, you know, there's so much pulling on that little muscle all the time that, you know, you can see why these injuries are happening. But they're also injuries because things weren't lifted properly. You know, when you're trying to pick something up bent arm, you got a real good shot of blowing a bicep right off the bone or tearing the tendon or whatever. But we'll get back with that. Let's start right up at the you want to go from the traps down, or what do you want to do?
Sure. I think that's a good
okay.
plan.
All right. Well, here's another fundamental too, which I always think goes with the back is the neck. I always like to start from the neck to, you know, like the top of your ass crack, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can use a lot of times I'll use the harness from Iron Mind to do the neck. I do have a four-way Nautilus machine, which a lot of people poo-poo, but I think it's a great machine. It's the first generation. If you know how to use it, you can build a hell of a neck, especially on the sides. But a lot of people have said, you know, well, you can break your neck with it. Well, you know something? You can fall out of your fucking bed and break your neck, you know? It's just like I don't listen to that stuff.
Here's one of the points that I want to address with that is like if you strengthen your neck, yes, in some ways it's more fragile and there's a little bit more of a risk if you're stupid about what you do. But by training the musculature around there, you're less likely to injure yourself in these stupid ways. I have a story I like to tell. Yep. I was one time as I was traveling through Europe, me and my friends were in somewhere in Spain and we just had a few hours to kill. Before we got on a train. So we were playing football, American football over there, just in like a dirt field they had going on. Yep. And at one point in a kickoff, like at the ball bounced and went up high and I went up to jump and try to grab it. And one of the guys on the other team just took my legs out from under me and I fell from like 6 feet up in the air on my head. I was definitely dazed. I probably had a slight concussion. But you know what? Within a couple of hours, I was fine. And if I hadn't done a whole bunch of neck training, specifically with one of my favorite exercises, the bridging exercises, which we can talk about. But I feel had I not done that, like I might have ended up in the hospital on that day. It definitely would have been far worse than what actually happened because I had spent that time with the neck training. So I feel because it's a fragile thing, it's that much more important for you to train. And, of course, you need to do it properly when you do that.
Without a doubt. And I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this before. You know, I like to be an observer of people. And you know, when you see, you know, the neck is the first thing I look at. Not unless it's some knockout chick, but I'm still looking at the neck. And it's like, you know, it's like on a man especially, you can tell somebody that's got a strong neck. It shows, all right? It doesn't have to be a 21-inch neck either. It shows. And I think that as we go down through the spine here on this show, that's why I said, you know, nothing looks better to me if you do it right than a big neck like fused right into your traps. All right. You know, they'll say, well, you got no neck, but you do still have a neck. But, you know, that is the look of power. Let's face it, man. If you got a pair of like monster traps and you got the neck to go with it, you know, and you know, it looks good. You got a square jaw, man. It's like, you know, you could be coming out a window with your cape on and look at me, you know what I mean? You're like the superhero at that point. But that to me is what starts the whole thing with building the body, especially when we're talking about the back, because, you know, I can always I remember reading a lot of articles by J.C. Heiss, and for anybody that doesn't know who he is, that guy was incredible. He came up with the Heiss shrug. You know, you got to love his ingenuity. His brother used his bar to turn his crank his car over back in that day when he used to have to do that and bend it. And then he used it and didn't think it was any good. But then when he started using it straight, he goes, you know, that and it's a camber bar now, you would call it. You know, they put the bend back in, and he was a very smart man. He just understood things. And, you know, the Heiss shrug is one of the king things. And, I mean, you want to build traps, and it hits the shoulder girdle, and obviously it hits the neck. But what do you like about we've already talked about the neck, unless you want to get in some exercise.
I got to mention one thing just based off what you were saying. A quote from George Jowett in his book, The Key to Might and Muscle. He says, "If I want to find out how much physical force a man possesses or is likely to possess in a dormant state, I look at his neck. That never fails to answer my question. In both man and other male beasts, the neck has always been the true indication of the quality and quantity of his concentrated nerve power. A strong, healthy man always has a powerful neck, and he always will have one."
Yep. That says it right there.
Yeah.
I mean, just think, look at people that box and stuff, or, you know, you get in a fight with somebody, you get popped good. If you don't have a strong neck, chances are you're going to either get hurt or get knocked out cold, you know. And I just think, forget about any of that stuff. Just think about you're in a car accident, you get hit from behind. You know, that could save you from whiplash. It could save you from going forward and slamming your head right into the dashboard or the wheel. The whole point of the matter is the neck delivers. But, okay, we know the neck. We know how vital it is. Now we're down into the traps. What do you like when you're doing let me put it this way. Do you do specific trap work, or do you like to just meld everything together and do it that way?
Then sometimes I do. I'd say definitely the shrugs that you mentioned, shrugs of all varieties. Definitely, I mean, that's kind of the direct trap work. But I'm not always working those in. One thing that I really like, and definitely I feel it hits the trap significantly, is doing any sort of snatch or clean, especially like more power snatches, power cleans, whether this is with a barbell or kettlebells, as I've been doing a whole lot lately. I mean, the traps are definitely working pretty big time. Obviously, the lower body, that's being explosive and everything, but the traps are still in use a lot in that explosive pull upwards. So if I'm working heavily on something like that, then I don't feel I need trucks on top of that because I'm doing a lot of work with it.
I like doing, you know my feeling now with the trap bar. I mean, I've used them in the past, but, you know, since I've had that pole and that arm, I love doing trap bar shrugs, you know.
Yeah.
And see, now that I can put that in the power rack, you know, I can really overload this thing. I like doing a lot of, I haven't done them in a while, and, you know, prior to this stuff with pulling the shoulder, I used to like to do a lot of very heavy. God, I'd have the bar probably up in the middle of my thigh in the power rack. I love doing, like, deadlift static holds, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, you talk about putting the heat on you. Look out, man. And, you know, nothing looks better. You know, I mean, a lot of people like the V-taper if you can get your waist, obviously, down. But still, you look at a muscular back. Now, some of the biggest traps I ever seen was Anthony DiTillo's. I mean, they didn't even look like traps. They looked inhuman. And, I mean, he was a big shrugger. You know, any Olympic lifter, go and look at any top Olympic lifter. They all have huge, huge traps. Gymnasts, obviously, you know, Logan with the kettlebells. And also, too, you know, here's another thing most people don't know, or maybe they do, or they discount. Let me tell you something. If you learn to press correctly over your head, you'll have a set of friggin' traps and rhomboids like no other. I mean, there's plenty of ways to hit the back, but we're talking mainly like what we're doing. What else? Do you do anything else trap-wise,
well,
Logan?
One other thing I want to mention, even if you're not doing any sort of shrugging movement, they can still be working pretty hard. I remember one time just in a workout with some friends, we were doing a whole bunch of farmer's walk, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the next day, like, my traps were more sore than anything. So even just sort of supporting that weight and holding your arm, even without trying to shrug, there's still a whole lot going on. So You know, you and I have talked at length about different sorts of carries. Those are all working the traps in different degrees. And people think the trap is just really that muscle above there, but that goes much further into the scapula than many people realize. There's a whole lot of muscle in there, and that's really working to support most of the time rather than just really sort of elevate the scapula.
Well, and the thing is, like you said, walking, I mean, walking is monstrous. We've been getting into this more and more, and we're not, you know, we've talked about farmers and tire flips, you and I and all that, but, you know, and you and I got into this, it might have been the last show or the show before, pretty heavy about, you know, this walking aspect that I just think, you know, I love walking now. I mean, with rocks or big, heavy sandbags. I think when you have a weight out in front of you that you've got to support and bear hug, I think it is a phenomenal thing to be able to move an object through time and space with any type of speed and strength, because you look at an athlete that's working that type of stuff like that, you know, a stone or a sandbag. I'm telling you right now, the physical look that you can garner from that, and you got to be consistent with it, and you got to know how to work in the other movements we're obviously going to get to. You know, there's got to be a fine line because, you know, you're going to overtrain yourself or you're going to end up banging yourself up. But I will tell you this, the mental aspect of caring is like nothing else I've ever done, because you're either going to give out or you're going to get back to where you got to get to lay that stone or bag down. That is very, very important, because when you enter anything, and Logan will tell you, he was in a strongman meet not that long ago, you got to have the mental tenacity to complete it. And I think carrying puts you out there like nothing else, because, you know, you and I both know, you turn that corner and you're saying to yourself, am I going to make it back? Am I going to make it back? Well, by practicing and doing that over and over, when you go out on the field to compete, there will be no question in your mind. Now, does that mean you're going to succeed every time? Hell no. But the point is, the preparation is so important to what you plan on doing. And I just think the carrying, that might be the master key to everything. At least in my opinion, with me right now and getting ready to do that, I think that's going to be the master key to what discipline I have to get to go and lift those big objects I plan on doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, any sort of carrying, that's definitely really the whole back is involved in that.
Yep.
The arms, just everything. That's one of the reasons they're so great.
Oh, it's like I said to you before, I wish I knew this 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nothing's for naught, you know what I mean? But you learn things, like I said to Bill today, it's like I used the statement, I said, I'm never surprised what I don't know. And there's a lot of truth to that, because nobody knows everything. And if you want to get really good doing this stuff, you know, sometimes things that you did, say, 3 years ago that didn't register with you, well, say today in 2015, you're like, you know what? I did that before. Now I got it. And now I know what to do. It's just at the time, it just didn't dawn on you that this is what I need, you know? And that's the beauty of what we do with weightlifting and, you know, with this back work. I mean, you know, like you said, any type of carry builds a shit out of the back, and it does. And it just depends what you like doing. But I'm always a guy that believes in, let's be uncomfortable and do the things we're not good at,
mm-hmm.
you know, and let's gain from this. But, you know, we know that carrying, we know that doing any type of trap work, we're into the rhomboids, the scapula. I mean, it does hit the latissimus a little bit. So let's start going down the spine now. We're into the rhomboids. What do we want, you know, what do you like to do? I know we're all like in one piece here, but what is there any particular exercise grouped in with the trap work and all that you like differently when you're talking rhomboids and now we're starting to hit in the scap, you know, the vertebra, and now we're going into the lats a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you got? Is there anything you like that
I'd
you
say? I mean, I don't really think in terms of, oh, I'm targeting my rhomboids today, right? It's really sort of a widespread thought. Like that's our bodybuilding culture. Like we're taught to believe that you got to think in terms of muscle groups, but that's very useful if you're trying to get bigger, if you're trying to, you know, actually do bodybuilding, enter competition. But really for strength, the more basic general groupings of, you know, back seem to work just fine as far as what you need to focus on. So as we move down the body, like you mentioned the bent row, my personal favorite as far as similar to that is the one arm rows. I love that exercise. It's so much fun to me because it's something you can really work up to some heavy weights with, and you can do it in a few different styles. And I just, you know, rowing a heavy dumbbell like that is just, for some reason, it's very fun to me.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's, you know, and the nice thing about it, I like to do it rowing dumbbells. I usually use a 2-inch handle mostly now.
Yeah.
I know it's a limiting factor on your grip, so you're only going to get so far. But I like doing things like maybe I'll put them up on a couple plates and pull them shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a contraption in my power rack where I can put it at any height. I can rest it right in the saddles there and pull it like that.
You can also elevate it a little further. When I do them, I'm typically leaning on the other knee, but if you elevate yourself there, then you can really let the arm or the weight sort of pull your arm down.
Yeah.
So it's getting a bit more of a stretch at the end. It's kind of similar to doing called Atlas push-ups or different ones where you're stretching more at the bottom of the movement. But I like doing that. With the one-arm rows, I think the thick dumbbells are great. Definitely the grip's going to be a limit. But even with this exercise with a normal-sized dumbbell, for most people, the grip's going to be the limit. So this is one exercise where I do sometimes use straps in because I'll do 150-pound dumbbells and really, you know, it's sort of a heave, a cheat row. But that's fine. I think that's a great way to do it. Sometimes you do them strict. Sometimes you do them more as a sort of a heave, and I think it's great ways to hit it, and definitely you'll need some wrist straps unless you have extremely strong hands, and even there your lats are probably going to be a bit stronger in your arms than your grip, turns out.
Well, I'll take if I want to really shorten the lift up on the 2-inch handles,
mm-hmm.
take a 35-pound plates, 45-pound plates, and put them on. Of course, they look ridiculous when you look at the dumbbell, but they might have to move it 2 inches. And that, you know, that's almost like the thing. I can heave it that way, too.
Yeah.
I like all that stuff. I like to take things that are heavy, obviously, you know, and you know, we haven't even gotten into, like, pulling stones, too. I mean, I like taking things like I'll do almost like a bent row with a stone and just hold it, you know, not only get the back, but get the fingers super good, because I've been doing a lot of things like that lately. I'm trying to almost like sand my fingers so they're so tough where they can grab and pick up anything, because I am training the grip a lot different right now. I came up with some ideas, and I talked to Bill Crawford on Sunday's show, and we were exchanging notes about a lot of things that we've been doing, you know, for stone lifting and that. But, you know, now, you know, bent rows to me, I think, are a fine exercise, whether you row it with two hands or you pull it one hand. And I got to tell you, Logan, I think that's another exercise, almost like the good morning, which is a great movement. And I've been really doing some shit with that for stone training.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're two exercises that have kind of been have disappeared in a lot of ways, and I'll tell you why. Of course, I'm gonna have to revert to Facebook, because I don't go to a gym anymore, so I don't know what's going on, and I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you seen that called a row where it looks more like they're doing a deadlift?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is not a row, dude. That's not a fucking row. I don't care if you're pulling 500. That is not a bent row. So the mechanics of a row, like, you know, here's something that I like to do. Obviously, we can do partials with it. Obviously, we can, you know, if you want to put on a few boards and pull it, you know, outside at a, you know, at a lower or whatever distance you want to row it. I use my car tires to do bent rows. I love doing those because you can flop a ton of weight on it. And if you let it go, it's just going to bounce, you know, and it's great like that. I do a thing, too, and I feel that is very beneficial, not only is stone lifting, but I love the feeling. I've talked about it before. We do a thigh deadlift, and I've got 255-gallon barrels, and they have a 3.5-inch fat pipe through each barrel, and it can support any size bar through that fat pipe, and you basically load all the weight in the barrels. And what that does, and I think it's fantastic, and it really builds super-duper strength, especially through the back, is they're so unorthodox that what they do initially when you go to lift them, they try to walk you a little bit. That's a hell of a way to build not only back and grip, but, you know, just the fundamental of being able to hold something like that is pretty incredible. Not only that, it feels goddamn good, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Those are great. I haven't spent as much time with those. I don't like it as much as the one-arm row, but that doesn't mean it's not as good of an exercise, if not even better in some ways. One of the really cool things about the bent row that I want people to understand is your lower back's really working more of a support role there, and because you're bent over, right? While you're, you know, the lats mainly, the arms, the rest of the back is working to move the weight, so you're hitting different components of the body. So it really is more of a full back exercise in that sense than some of the other ones here, just because the back's doing so much during it.
Well, here's the thing with bent rows. You can't go wrong on either or, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's a movement that I feel is just one of the best. I mean, if you do that, if you do a bent row properly, I don't care how big or small you are, you look like you got bat wings on you and can fly, man. It's like nothing looks better than having a big, strong, thick set of lats, man. And they serve the vital purpose of pulling things, man. They support all that. Have you ever curled? This is what I like to do. I can, you know, I like that, you know, this is one thing I've been doing with curling now. I went back, I still use the big bars, but I went back to an article years ago written by Dr. Ken Leisner, and he talked about curling with a 1-inch York bar, which is, I don't know, if it's 6 feet, that's long. I don't even think mine is. And what he said you do, and this all goes back to building big lats, is what you do is you try to dig your elbows into your lats and curl. It's a very good, I like it because with the bicep and everything, I'm very careful with a lot of things. And, you know, not careful in the way of being a candy ass, but I respect what happened, and I don't want to ever repeat if I don't have to. And I'll tell you one thing, Logan, when you got a bar that's small like that, and you can maneuver it like that, and you can dig your elbows into your lats, you can do some pretty phenomenal curling, and you have great control over the bar and all that. And I know that the curling has nothing really to do with what we're talking about, but what I'm talking about is the elbows into the lats. When the lats are developed like that, you can do wondrous things with stuff like that. And if that's going to give you a little edge, if you're really into, like, curling, there you go. You know, and it's a lot safer, I think, too, because, you know, if you're not familiar with an Olympic bar, it can get away from you. So rowing, I think, is one of the most essential movements that you can do. Spinal erectors, obviously, they are the cobras of the back, and we've read and I've seen and I've done. What do you like to do for the erect? I mean, do you like using, like, a you know, what do they call them, a ham, glute ham machine, which are very famous for, you know, a lot of back work. A lot of that was done in Russia way back in the 60s and the 50s. And I remember reading American Olympic lifters, I think Joe Doobie might have been one of them that had gone over there, because they couldn't figure out how these guys were getting these spinal erectors so huge. And, you know, you could basically stick your hand between their erectors and bury it. And, you know, everybody had done the typical stuff here, you know, the power cleans, the deadlifts, the rows, obviously. I'm trying to think of that machine now, Hyper machine, you know, with weights and all that. And they're like, well, they went over and they saw what these guys are doing. And at the time, Michael Yeses was the first one, really one of those machines. And I've got one of his originals here. It's insane, that glute ham. I mean, your back just goes berserk the way you can develop it. But he was watching them one time there, you know, in the gymnastics room. And, you know, I don't know what you call them. You know, they're like wood built into the wall, and they look like rungs they're climbing up.
The Swedish bars.
Is that what they are? Okay. What they were doing is they were taking these pommel horses and laying their torso across it, you know, hanging off and locking their feet in there. Someone would place a bar on their neck, and, of course, they'd go down and spring straight up, you know, like, you know, not too much over, what do you want to say, level position, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But this is what they felt was doing it. Well, they came back to America and started doing it, and these guys were having that type of success. So when you build those erectors like that, man, you can lift pretty much anything you want at that point because you're so developed. What do you think? What do you like to tie into that area?
Well,
what do you like?
In addition to all the great things you just said, I think there's definitely a big case for doing some round back lifting here.
Yep.
I think that's
going
to be a huge part of it. So whether that's, you know, working with a deadlift and purposefully or not so purposefully doing it round back, I am against the opinion that many people say where you have to keep a flat back and everything. You look, we've definitely talked about this, you know, just look at Bob Peoples as an example. But by doing a round back, the spinal erectors come a little bit more into play. Really, if you do this over time, you can build up the fascia around the spine that keeps it strong and not in a bad position, not where you're going to hurt yourself, if, of course, you do this smartly. So some level of that is going to be a big part of building up the erectors.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, not only that, the erectors are, you know, I think a lot of people, too, concentrate very hard on the lower back, and you see a lot of injuries and things of that nature. I think that that hinge there with the spinal erectors, I think, let me put it this way. I've looked at a lot, you know, Yoko Ohola. I'll never forget that picture of him, I wish I pulled the Milo out for the show.
Yeah.
But anybody that wants to see a back,
I know that check out who you're talking about because he's famous for this exact reason.
Was he friggin' huge or what?
Yeah.
And, you know, I love to hear people say, well, he's only like 278. He was small. Well, maybe for today, you know, competing against a 400-pound-plus guy, but I never discount anybody when it comes to physical stuff. Rieger, unbelievable back, Olympic lifter. I believe it was in the 70s. He was phenomenal. I've seen some of those Russian lifters, and I can't name names, but I can see the picture in my head. You look at these guys, I swear to God, man, the middle of their back almost looked like it had a hump in it. The friggin' erectors, and these guys were not like, maybe they're 220ers, okay? And 220 isn't small, but in today's world, they make it sound like you're a midget, for God's sake. The power, let me tell you something. You can tell and look and see somebody and see they're very, very powerful. Does that always translate to other things? Maybe not, maybe so. But I'll tell you what, in a weight room, when you got stuff looking on you like that, you know you've done some heavy-duty lifting. You know you've done some science there and figuring out what it takes to get big like that. And when you see that, it is just you admire it. I mean, that's what we were just saying with Ohola. I remember seeing video of him, Logan, and he was the first guy really that set up at his place the actual World's Strongest Man modalities they use, or something close, all right? Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing him. I think he was one of the first guys. I got to say, I think he lifted a 390-pound stone or maybe 400. And I saw him in training doing this shit, man. It was ungodly, dude. And, I mean, he wasn't some 6'8" giant with, you know, arms that would stretch a mile. I mean, this was a guy that was average in height at best. And, you know, they'll tell you he was pretty much a lightweight as far as today's standards. Not only was he fast, but, man, when you seen that back coil up and, like you're saying, rounding, when he was lifting those fears, man, that back was rounding big time. I used to just sit there in awe and say, holy shit, man. And it wasn't just stones. It was like anything he touched. It was like everything was working in unison. And to me, I never saw a weak spot on the guy. And a lot of times the back will show because, you know, we know the lower back is definitely the area where most of these guys hurt themselves and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, as we're moving down the spinal erectors, now, you know, we're at the bottom of the back, which is the most vulnerable.
Well, let me add a couple other things I can help there. the kettlebells we talked about a little bit, but one of the things people do with kettlebells, a lot of people are trained that it's similar to the deadlift, right? You have to keep the entire back straight, and you know the force would really be loaded more on the hips than it should be on the back. And of course, that is definitely true and appropriate in some cases. But if you look at the kettlebell sport, again, we're going to Russian guys for the most part, but in that sort of style, it is really a round back sort of lifting. And the idea is you're becoming more efficient with the movement, and the erectors, for instance, can take on a little bit more of that. And, you know, this isn't a case, even though you're doing higher reps, but it's significantly, you know, it's only moderate weights. But yep. I think this is one of the reasons why I can deadlift round back pretty heavy weights and be safe about it because of all the kettlebell stuff I've done, including the kettlebell juggling. What I like about that is you can't get into a quote unquote perfect position on those things because the kettle is going to be a little bit off, you know, depending on how you threw it and flip it and whatnot. But you're also loading the body in different sort of ways. So I feel that kettlebell juggling, all the time I've spent in doing that, has given me a really strong back at really sort of this erector level along with everything else.
Well, Logan, if they were – all right, let's do this. If they came to you and they had no familiarity with – they've heard of kettlebells, they've seen it, and they want to get the spinal erectors, they want to get the back stronger, and we want to put it into a program – you know, would you just start them out with a swing and go from there, or how would you approach
that? Yeah, definitely always start with the swing. Something with the juggling that I find is people think like, oh, only advanced people can do that. But I've literally taken a person that had no experience with kettlebells at all. I teach them the swing, but then from the swing, you can go straight into the juggling. And, you know, if you're working light enough and you, of course, want to do some smart things because certainly there is a greater element of danger in doing this, but you can definitely build up there, and that's really going to help. Because it's kind of untargeted in how you're doing it, it's going to really build up that strength at those odd angles that can really help you be stronger overall as well as more injury-proof.
Yeah, and that's the main thing. So what do you see? What would your top two, whatever you want to do, what do you see as plugging in for the lower back? Obviously, we talked with kettlebells, but what deadlift?
I'd definitely put the deadlift in there. And not just the normal deadlift, that's great, but I think if you're going for, once again, well-roundedness and working the back, but doing the deadlift in a few different ways, you know, sumo deadlift, of course, conventional, but trap bar deadlift, Jefferson deadlift, working partials, all these different ways are going to hit the back just slightly differently, so I would definitely put that in there. And as far as the low back, when you're working with the deadlift, don't use a belt. That is... if you're competing, whatnot, or going for a max weight, there is a time and a place where you can use a belt. But honestly, I never use one anymore. I feel if I was even going in competition, I wouldn't use a belt because it'd be awkward to me and it'd probably deter me from what I'm doing because I never train with one at all, including when I'm doing, you know, a 1,000-pound short-range partial. Because you're building that pressure, you're building that strength yourself. If you have a belt, that's doing some of the job for you. If you really want that strength, in this case, do it without it. Yes, you can do more with the belt. That's fine if you want to go that way. But I'd say most of your training absolutely here should be done without a belt. It's kind of the same with the straps, even though I said, you know, there are times and places when you want to do them. You know, only at that top point where it's kind of holding you back from doing something should you be using straps. And I'd say the same thing with the belt.
Yeah, and I agree totally. And, you know, a lot of that lower back problems, too, are from having a weak midsection. I mean, you know, you hear that once in a while, but, you know, if you have a large belly protruding, you know, and I know people say, well, I squat 1,000. I got the whole deal. But, you know, that doesn't help your lower back either. And over a course of time, it could end up creating a big problem for you. And that's just one thing, you know. You can be big, man. There's nothing, you know, I think the bigger the better, the stronger, but you got to face facts, too. I mean, you know, if you're having problems bending over to tie your shoes, you know, you're kind of weakened when you're like that. Mm-hmm. Might be a strong, strong individual, but you don't realize that plays into everything. And, you know, that's one of the big complaints with a lot of people. And it's not just lifters. I mean, regular desk jockeys and just normal people that are living day to day, how many of them do you know that I've got a back. I mean,
back pain. Yep, it's a common thing.
Right. I can name multiple people I know. It's always like, how come you don't ever hurt your back? I'm like, what? It's like, you know, I try to take care of it. I've heard it before. But
well, let's talk about a few things that can really help with this, because really getting a strong back, that's only one of the important pieces to the puzzle if we're looking at spine health. The other things would be mobility, and this is simple stuff. Here it's pretty easy to divide the spine, because we're really looking at mobility of the spine itself, into the three different areas, the lumbar, the thoracic, and the cervical. And just doing things like lines, moving forward and backwards, side to side, but then, you know, working with circles as well. But here's the thing with this. Most people, their spine really has no mobility, especially if you look in the middle spine where the thoracic spine is. Most people, unless they've actually worked at this, have no ability to move that area of the body at all. And it takes a little time. I mean, when I first got introduced to this idea, I really couldn't do it either. It took me a couple of weeks of training at it in order to be able to move that around. But if the spine has more mobility, in addition to having more strength, you're going to be much better off. And the other part would be flexibility as well. That's why, in addition to all these weightlifting exercises, I like the bridging exercises. I mentioned that with the wrestler's bridge for the neck strength, but it's really a great spine flexibility drill as well. And if we move into the hand bridge or the gymnast bridge, the spine really becomes much more flexible here. So I think it's a great sort of adjunct to build this flexibility, build the mobility on top of the strength. Then you have it really from all different angles. And I think that, far more than just any one piece by itself, is going to lead you to have a healthy spine and a healthy back and be able to be pain-free.
Well, and I used to do that whole thing. I haven't done in a long time, but I did it for quite a while. You know, I used to follow Matt Fury a lot. Every morning I'd get up and do Hindu squats and do push-ups and bridges.
Yep.
Every morning without fail. I probably haven't done it now in about a year. I'm going to start doing it again, and I'll tell you, you're right. You know, I love doing the Hindu stuff, and by the time I get to the bridging end of it, it's absolutely beautiful, man. You're loosened up. You get in that position, you know, there's nothing better than touching your nose to, like, the baseboard or your floor, you know, your wall and all that. And then, you know, a lot of times I used to do two Logan, I thought was really good for just for the spine, for the legs, everything. I like doing, and I used to do it more of a test on how long I could take it without, you know, giving in. I love doing the wall chair, too. I think it's a good... I used to group it with the other three. I don't know. I just liked it because, to me, it was a lesson in discipline.
Yeah.
Because I don't care who you are. Sit in a wall chair and see how long it takes before something starts shaking on you a little bit. And, you know, that's what I like to try to do. Try to make my mind unravel and see if I can sustain it. And you can get very good if you put the time in with it. But initially, it will kick your ass, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're like, I don't know if I want to do it. Well, there you go. You lose. But I thought those three movements, you know, were very beneficial for my spine, big time.
Here's something that people need to understand with all the different joints is that really they get better with use. Obviously, you can go overboard and overuse, and that can be a problem, but the synovial fluid that is within the joints themselves, you need to sort of move that around, and that's the whole idea around doing joint mobility exercises. If you move the joint, then you're going to be able to keep moving that joint in sort of a pain-free way. And so the spine, between every disc, there's this synovial fluid. So if you're never really moving that around, and how many people lose that exact mobility just because they don't do this in their everyday life. You know, you don't need much spine mobility or flexibility to sit down and stand up, which is the amount of movement most people have going on. So your spine becomes more inflexible, more rigid in this way. So then, yeah, it's more open to the possibility of having pain and injury just because it can't move. But a spine is actually quite flexible and quite strong. If you ever look at one of those skeletons, that they have in classrooms, right? But look at the spine there. That thing's quite a bit meatier than most people think of the spine often to be, this little fragile bone that's there. That thing's pretty thick. That's like a huge boa constrictor snake. You know, if you're actually using it, it is flexible, it is mobile, and it's strong altogether. So you just want to reinforce and keep these abilities going, and that's going to, once again, set you up for great strength, great fitness, and being pain-free.
Yeah, and being very powerful, yeah. Too. It's a, you know, it's a great way to do things, and excuse me, you'll last a lot longer by taking care of yourself physically like that.
Mm-hmm. We got to add one other thing because we haven't talked about it. Pull-ups and chin-ups, right? You know, lifting heavy weights is one thing, but you also need to be able to lift your own body weight in this way. You know, of course, it's going to be harder if you weigh a lot more just because you are heavier. But I think that's sort of the other angle. So for a strong back, you want to be able to lift heavy weights, but you also want to be able to lift your own body weight. So I really do pull-ups. It's one of my favorite exercises. So you don't need to necessarily be doing these things all at the same time, but definitely from time to time, I would include that in any sort of back program, the wide variety of different pull-ups and chin-ups that can be done.
Without a doubt. And all the stuff today is just vital to building a huge back and having back health, because there's too many people going into the ER with hurt backs or lower back. You know, how many people you know that's been under the knife with back problems, and it still doesn't straighten it out. So before it gets too, you know, bad for you, take the steps to obviously try to work the back in a way that you can build the muscles around everything, the joints, the bones, all that. And then hopefully, you know, you'll be back in the game. I mean, if not, if you can't get as physical as you were, at least you'll still be able to do day-to-day things. And you know, hey, what's better? If you can't do a lot of weight work, go out and start walking. I mean, you know, there's always alternatives for what you need to do. But don't wait till it's too late, till you got to go in, and then you've got to make a decision that could definitely be life-changing. Logan, you got anything else you want to add?
One other point, just as we're talking about this idea of being pain-free, is nutrition is such a huge component of this. If you don't have the right nutrients in your body, micronutrients like vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, various things like these, then your body's not going to be able to take care of itself. A lot of times with back pain, you know, people reach for drugs right away and sure that can make the pain go away, but it's not really addressing the underlying issue. But oftentimes if you can do things, just a couple examples could be increasing the amount of fish oils or omega-3 fatty acids. A lot of people have noticed a lot of joint pain going away with that, because that oil is a critical part of keeping our cells and our joints flexible and all that. Various anti-inflammatory things like turmeric, for example, and there's plenty of other ones that can help with that as well. So just making sure you have that foundation of good nutrition. Collagen would be another thing, because that makes up all the connective tissue, and that's a thing that most people are, you know, we're not eating goat's hooves anymore, and people aren't drinking their bone broth, so I would definitely encourage that as well. This will just help to support those goals all at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, you can get bone broth and the collagen and all that from John Wood. Yeah. He, you know, U.S. Wellness Meats, that's where I get all mine. But, you know, another thing, too, is this. Supplements and all that are going to help you big time, the fish oil. But, you know, I think, like, the collagens and all that are fabulous. And I think, you know, you can make soups out of this stuff, whatever you do. I buy, it comes in a container. It's a bit like gelatin. All I do is heat hot water up, throw a tablespoon in it. It has no taste to it, and it does phenomenal things for you. And, you know, with what you and I do and a lot of the other people on the show and the listeners, I mean, we put our bodies through a lot of shit, man, for, you know, long periods of time. And, you know, the body is a magnificent, magnificent thing that we're so blessed to have. But it's like you got to treat it right, and when things happen, you got to take care of it. If you don't, well, you know, you could be setting yourself up for a major failure. So I'll leave it with that. You got what else you got, Logan?
Yeah, I think that's we've covered the subject pretty well.
Well, hey, you know something? Backs look good, man. Nothing looks better than a big, strong back. With women, too, it's like, you know, it just shows everything, man. And, you know, you can sit there and do benches till you can't bench anymore and curl till you can't curl. And that might all look well and good, but that isn't going to help you lift a big stone or a big deadlift or, you know, a big kettlebell or a farmer's walk. So think about that. Next time you get out there and train, you know, think about what you're doing, what's important. Logan, why don't you give all your information? I'll give mine, and then just hang on the line briefly, and we'll talk, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, over at legendarystrength.com, as I mentioned before, all kinds of different programs. If you like this sort of idea of keeping all the joints healthy, I have a program, as well as free articles and videos on the same topic, but check out the Indestructible Body. The Indestructible Spine and Neck is just one part of that program that you guys might be interested in. And over at supermanherbs.com, all kinds of crazy herbs that most people have never heard of, but really this is going to help with that nutrition component I talked about. We haven't yet, you know, we've experimented with a few things. We don't have any specific like joint pain or rehabbing chronic injury type of thing at this point, probably well in the future. But definitely some of the herbs we have there currently can definitely help. And, of course, even the hormones are going to play a good part in helping your body to come back when it needs to from that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how much testosterone affects your joints. And another thing I was going to say was this, you know, inflammation, you know, check, like Logan said, nutrition. You know, there's some foods that are going to create that. So, you know, if you know what it is, eliminate it. Don't keep it around. There's no point of creating more of that in your body. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com. We are also, this is for New York area, Hearts Collision, heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Sorenex, that's Sorenex.com, and it is 1-803-978-2253, extension 111. Don't forget to go out to Fiorillo Barbell Co. and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Free. Like I said, think about it. You can get something out of those 10 paragraphs. I know that for sure. Give it a shot. Obviously, you know about our Winner's Circle. That's our big product. That's just about on the way out. And tons of video are going to go with it, so you'll get to see the whole thing. That will be coming shortly, and obviously the homepage is going to change again considerably. We got new branding, et cetera, et cetera. Don't forget about sponsorship, $300 a month. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and click sponsorship. If you need branding, Chris can do that. But like I said before, my voice went hoarse almost, because I swallowed an ice cube. But, you know, this is the whole deal. It's like we're doing a lot of stuff. We're going to be around here a long time. We want to get as many people on board as possible, and I enjoy it. I think everybody that comes on this show enjoys it too. I haven't heard any complaints yet. So go out, check it out. Come on aboard. You can help us grow our show, our brand, and we'll do the same for you. And Chris Bigelow does it all here, monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, motivationandmuscle.com. Let's see, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Everything's 5 stars. I thank you for that. Please keep going out there and write reviews. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. If you want to talk to me or you want a show for Logan and I to do, if there's something you're interested in, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And I'll leave you with these three things. Number one, if you're in the concrete jungle or in the gym or wherever, and someone comes up to you and asks you questions, don't be afraid to give them an answer. You know, you never know what you're affecting with somebody, and it's a good thing to do. I try to do that whenever someone starts talking to me, unless it's something idiotic, but usually most people aren't going to be that way. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, you know, don't be afraid to say hello or smile or just, you know, hello, how you doing? You know, because if you look around now, and I'm an observer, I see a lot of sad faces with a lot of heads looking down. That's not the way to be, and that's not the way to live. Don't let anybody tell you you're no good. But try to do that and try to be kind to people. There's nothing wrong with it. It shows you're a lot stronger, man. You know, a lot of people say, I got news for you. It doesn't take a lot to do that. And last but not least, my favorite, go out and lift some big chunks of iron tonight, or go out and take a stone and turn it into dust. And as I said, we are domination. We're going to be over a million strong by the time I'm done with this. So look, everybody, go out, have a good week, go out and do something that's real positive, and, you know, keep listening in, and I thank you for listening to the show. And, you know, we're getting more and more good reviews from people. I'll tell you one thing quickly. Russell Furr, he's one of the people on Facebook that, you know, listens to the podcast and stuff, and I'd like to meet the guy. He seems like a cool guy. And he says to me, I just listened to one of your podcasts, and it says like this. It felt like testosterone was basically seeping through my speakers, man, right? And the best thing was, you know, he went into a little more stuff, you know, how it's very palatable, the shows, and they're a lot of fun, and there's so much content, and he loves the guests on. He says to me, though, he goes, I'll tell you what, if I'm ever in New York State, I'm coming to your place. And I was like, you can come up anytime, man. You'll get to see it all shortly. You're going to get to see how all the stuff comes out of a one-car garage and all the stuff in it. I tried to film everything I could last weekend. As soon as Chris is going through it right now, doing any editing or whatever we're going to do to it, I think you'll all enjoy it. You'll get to see what it's like. You know, I want to make you a part of it because everybody's heard me talk about it long enough. So, Logan, thanks for being on. Another great show, my friend.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you. So, for Logan Christopher, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show, and stay tuned, man. We're out there, and we're all over the place. So have a great week, and keep lifting.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.